Amen. Tell somebody on the side of you, Jesus loves you, as you have a seat. Amen. We praise God for a great time of worship. I got little birds all over the house that they text message me during worship and stuff like that. All that crazy stuff. And they said that we had 236 people here today. Isn't that amazing? Man, that is awesome. That is amazing. You know, and it's all about connecting and reaching out to those that we love and care. And this morning, we're beginning a new series. And we're calling it Not Your Ordinary Family. We're going to be talking over the next 3 weeks, four counting the day, God's design for a family. So especially if you're a young couple or a young married couple, you need to be here. But even if you are maybe starting family again, maybe you've had kind of a rough go at it the first time, and this is the second time around, this is for you too. And even for those with grandchildren, I believe there's something for you to learn over the next few weeks as we talk about what it means to have a God-designed family. So I hope that you hang in there with us over the next few weeks as you stay with us with that. And I begin thinking this title, Not Your Ordinary Family, out of curiosity, and I know you have some family members here today, but did anybody have a weird family growing up? Yes, I thought so. And many of you guys are laughing today because a lot of us have had weird families and, amen, right? You know, we've had some odd stuff in our families, but in our reality, everybody's got a weird family. Did you know that? Everybody say amen on that one. Everybody's got a weird family, okay? So don't feel like you're, you know, different because you've got a family that didn't all go perfect or didn't look exactly the way you thought that it should look, okay? But here's what I am learning. I'm learning that God really wants us to have different families. Now, Kenny, what do you mean by that? Well, as I am just looking at our current landscape as a nation and our current moral landscape of what's happening, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the family attacked more in this generation than ever before in its history. It is now the norm for fathers to abandon their children. It's now the norms to treat the unborn child as collateral damage that can just be thrown away. It's the norm to have debt completely encompass our entire families to where we are completely enslaved by the debtor. Divorce is raging. A marital breakdown is happening. And that is becoming the norm. And when I read God's word for what the family should be like and what God is designing the family to be like, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that a God-designed family is not the norm of what's happening right now. That the hurt, the heartache, the pain that's occurring in our families is not what God wants right now. It's not God's design for families to fold and to dissolve and to fall apart. So what we're doing over the next 3 weeks, we are calling the families of this city and the families of Life Community Church not to be like everybody else, but to be different and to take a stand as a godly family, as a God-designed family, and to do what the Lord wants us to do with our families. Now, if you got your sermon notes, look at them real quick, and you'll see there's a memory verse. And this is going to be our memory verse for this series. And I want us to memorize it because it's going to be our declaration. It's Joshua 24, 15. Can we say it out loud? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you want to know the key to having a family that's not just another stat? It's making the decision that you and your family will serve the Lord. It's making the decision that your family will be a God-sized family and a family that loves the Lord. Take your Bibles this morning. Open up to the book of Psalms, chapter 128. If you don't have your Bible, we'll have it on the screen. And we also have it printed in your program. So make sure you read God's Word. The Psalm says this morning. How happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You will surely eat what your hands have worked for, and you'll be happy, and it will go well for you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons like young olive trees. In this very way, the man who fears the Lord, listen to this, will be blessed. Father, may you add blessings to your word. We need you in this moment. May it speak to us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You begin this passage, and it talks about how happy is the person who fears the Lord. And then it begins to imply that his family is also happy. That if he loves God, that he's got a happy family. So we're going to talk today about a happy family, because part of an unordinary family, not your ordinary family, a family that rejoices in God finds himself being a happy family. I'd like to show you real quick some moments of happiness in the Rager household. Can I do that, Sam? Throw up the first picture here. This is wedding day. Yay! I got hitched to the beautifulest woman in the world. No offense to any other women in this room. In my personal preference and opinion, okay? That was a happy moment. We got married in Elizabethtown. It was great. It was wonderful. It was a happy moment. Go to the next slide there, Sam. Our first trip to New York City. We had a friend of ours that blessed us and took us to New York City. That's me, my wife, and lovely Lady Liberty right there. And our very first trip to New York City, that was a happy moment. We had a lot of fun in New York City. I'm falling in love with New York City. Lady Liberty is beautiful. Not as beautiful as Taryn, but she's pretty too. I do like New York City. That was a happy moment for us. Go to the next one there, Sam. The birth of Gracie. That was a happy moment. There she is. There she is, all happy, wrinkly, and all that fun stuff. That was happy. That was my first day as a dad when that picture was taken. That was a happy moment. This is the birth of Hope, okay? So it was a happy moment. Hope came since we've been at Life Community Church, and many of you all prayed for Hope when she was in the NICU, and she had all those wires and buzzers and stuff hooked up to her. And even though it was kind of crazy that we were in the NICU, God still blessed us, and that was a happy moment. Check out the next one. Cow days at Chick-fil-A are always happy for the Ragers. We love the cow days, and if it's free Chick-fil-A, Ragers are there, man. And I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. I, too, was taking the picture. I, too, was dressed as a cow at that moment, and that will always happen. It will always be that way by the grace of God. As long as they keep having dressed like a cow, you get free chicken, we're there, buddy, okay? So it's going to happen. Go to the next one. That was at our birthday service, at the last birthday service for the church birthday service. That's me, Taryn, and Gracie, and Hope. Wasn't that just a happy time for our church, for those that were there? That was a happy time. It was a wonderful time. We had just a blast that night. Just thinking about happy moments that we have had as a family. Go to the next one there, Sam. This was from Valentine's Day yesterday. Miss Piggy and Kermit appeared at our house, and thinking of happy moments, that was a happy day. Yesterday, it was a happy day. And I thought, well, let's just be as current as I can be. That was a happy day yesterday. And we got current. I think Miss Piggy may have found her way into the back there today. I think that could have happened. So you may see Piggy around. But really, all of us are longing to have a happy family. And really, this is kind of our goal, right? Go to the next one there, Sam, is to be a happy days kind of family, right? You know, that's what we really want. We want happy days. Who wants happy days in their family? And there's the Fonz. You know, by today's standard, a guy that randomly hangs out with your family and kind of drops in, that's kind of sketchy today. But back then, it was okay. It was all right. But all of us want this happy family. But here's what I've learned about happy families. Happy moments come and go, do they not? You have happy times, but then they can. And really, as we're striving to be a happy days kind of family, really our families sometimes look more like this, don't they? Isn't that how they normally look? I mean, if we're going to be honest, you know, everybody's trying to strangle the Bart of our family, right? And that's sometimes what our families look like. I don't know about you, but sometimes growing up, that was more my family than Arthur Fonzarelli. And what I'm learning is that happiness can come and happiness can go. But as we read from the scripture, as we read from the passage, yes, there will be happy days in your family, but there'll be hard days too. But the Bible seems to indicate and it seems to show how we can have happiness in our family. How we can have a happy family. And it says right there in verse 1, It says, how happy is everyone who fears the Lord? So it tells us that happiness is tied to something else. It's tied to fearing the Lord. So here's what fearing the Lord means. It doesn't mean you're scared of God or that you're terrified of God or, you know, you don't want to, I just don't want to go around God. That's not what fear of the Lord means. It means a respect of God, an awe of God, a reverence for God. And the Bible seems to indicate that those that have reverence and awe and respect for the Lord have happy families. That those that treasure the Lord and love God are families that experience God's blessings and God's peace in their families. So the key to happiness is this, putting God first. The key of being happy, a happy family, is giving God first place. If we learn how to give God first place in our families, and we love Him and cherish Him and we love Jesus Christ, the Bible seems to indicate that we can understand what a happy family really is. And that's unordinary according to today's standards. But if we learn how to give God first place in our lives, in our church, then we can experience joy in our families. So I don't know about you, but I want God-sized happiness in my life and in my home. Anybody else today? I want that for my family. I want my family to experience the goodness of God. I want us real quick to just see what happens when God is first placed in my family. What happens when the Lord God is first place in my family? Let's dissect the scripture and look at it. First, I want you to see this, is that my family will have care. They'll have care upon them. The Bible says in verse 2, the first part of it, you will surely eat what your hands have worked for. Those that fear and rever the Lord seem to have a work ethic about them. And they provide for their family and they care for their family. That when they honor God, they know that the family that's been given to them is a trust. And that they are to shepherd that family and to care for that family. They should provide a safe place for that family. They should provide protection for that family. They should not be afraid to work to provide for that family because they have a God-sized reverence for the Lord, knowing that their family is a treasure. Therefore, they provide for their family and they care for their family. And let me just add this in. One of the greatest ways that you can care for your family, are you ready for this? Is to make sure your family is in church. Now, why is that? Because you will be raising them in a spiritual environment that loves God and cares for God. What we're seeing is that those that rever God aren't afraid to sacrifice and do what it takes for the family. They're not afraid to work to provide for their family. They're not afraid to sacrifice for their family. They're not afraid to get their hands dirty to make sure their family is taken care of. Now, this is important because we know that some have given up on caring for their family. I'm not saying you don't fall on hard times when work is not available or a tragedy happens or a medical accident happens. That happens, right? But when those that just say, forget it, I got a kid across town that I could care less about, let the mama take care of it. Guys, that's wrong. That's wrong. And we should care for our families. And those that love God should care for their babies. Amen. They should care for their babies. And they should do what it takes to love that. Why? Because God has cared for us. He has cared for us. He has provided for us. He watches over us. He forgives us of our sin. He sent Jesus to die for us. That's a lot of care. So we as family members should understand that when we honor and rever God, that our family is a gift. And that we should cherish our family and do what it takes. And sometimes, guys, and I'm preaching to the choir, I'm preaching to myself. Sometimes it's as simple as putting down your phone, amen, and playing Candyland with your kids. Y'all with me? Next, my family will have guidance. My family will have guidance. The Bible says you'll be happy and it will go well for you. Notice in the first verse, it says how happy is, present tense. But in the next one here, it says you will be happy. Implying what? That those that follow God are happy currently, and that happiness will also be what? For them in the future as well. They are currently happy, but they also will be happy. And look what it says, and it will go well for you, for those that honor God and love God and revere the Lord. You will be happy. Again, this doesn't mean that tragedy won't strike. It doesn't mean that if you love God, you'll never have hardship, you'll never have financial problems, you'll never have any of this stuff. No. But instead, it means that your joy and your reason for being happy comes from God, and that He fuels that in your life, that no matter what happens, even if a hurricane came and blew everything over, even if a gigantic snowstorm comes tonight and freezes all of us in, that was not going to happen, right? We can still be happy because of God's presence in our lives. Because of God's presence in our lives. Many families struggle because they're not submitting to this, to God's will. And here's what I know is that when you follow the Lord, there's a guidance that happens there. You now begin to find joy in the Lord. So you lead your family. Notice how it says it will go well for you, implying what? There's a path being laid. And where does that path come from? Where does that course come from? It comes from what the Bible teaches us. It comes from what the Word of God teaches us. We learn what the Bible says, how we should guide our families and shepherd our families, and we apply that to our families, to lead our families. And there's a blessing for that. Many families will struggle because they won't turn to God's Word for counsel. Many people engaged to be married will struggle because they don't turn to God's Word for premarital counseling. Many family members are on the edge of divorce because they're not turning to God's Word for counsel. But a family that reveres God knows that the Bible is not just this old book. It's relevant to us. It makes a difference. They mine out the treasures in it. They study it, and they apply those principles to their life. That creates a happy family down the road. Y'all with me on that? Do it God's way. Understand that this will happen. Can you imagine the difference it would make if you begin having a family prayer time every night? Before you went to bed, all the kids came into one room and you prayed. We do that right now. And little Gracie prays. Sometimes they're really sweet. Sometimes they're really weird, you know. Lord, bless little sister. Amen. Lord, don't let little sister touch any of my toys, you know, stuff like that. But have a family prayer time. Make a commitment to keep your kids in church. Seek out the scriptures for the Lord to guide you. Make sure your kids are in kids' church and Sunday nights on Kids Life. Make sure your teenagers go to youth group, but they just don't want to. That's why you're the adult, amen. That's why God gave you keys to cars and they don't have license yet, amen. You take them. And all the kids are sitting there, but they'll be all right. They'll be all right. Next, I want you to see this. My family will have marital fulfillment. The Bible says next, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Now, this is implying about fertility, okay? This is implying about having children. To the ancient Jew, having children was one of the top things that they sought out after. But when you study the passage, it means more than just having children. It's implying that there is relationships between the husband and wife, and that they take pleasure within one another. Now, we're going to dive into this subject a little bit more next week. And I just want to tell you, next week's going to be a little PG-13. Amen? All right? Okay? It's going to be a little PG-13 next week. But here's the deal. This is what I want you to know. God has given us the gift of marriage for sexual expression. Sexual expression is to happen nowhere else except for within the marriage bed. That's it. And what happens is that when we trust in God, submit ourselves to God, here's what happens. Husbands, you begin to focus on your wife, just your wife. And wives, guess what? You start focusing on your husband, just your husband. Not websites, not 50 Shades of Puke. Gee, I wonder where I stand on that. But I'm talking about focusing on each other. Y'all with me? Those that rever God and love God are committed to each other in a happy marital relationship. More on that next week. PG-13. Check your kids in a kids' church, okay? Amen. All right, here we go. You ready? Finally, my family will have children. Now, this is so important. That have a future. Now, look what it says. Your sons will be like young olive trees around your table. Now, I don't know about you. I don't necessarily wake up every morning and say, God, make Gracie look like an olive. You know, I don't know if that's my prayer for her. So I had to do a little bit of homework. Had to check into this a little bit. This is a promise, that a hope that the children would be productive, that they would grow and be productive, and that they would do something with their life. And what's kind of neat about this is that those that rever God and love God are creating environments where their children can be better, where their children have a future. That's what it's implying, that their children are there. They have potential to grow. They have potential to do great things. They have a future. Those that love God, are you ready? When you put your all into the Lord, you begin to love your family like none other. And you know what's going to happen? That's going to make your kids grow up in an environment where God's all around them. And they're going to be situated more so than other people to live their life to the fullest because mom and dad had them in church. Because they heard the gospel. They heard about Jesus and they gave their lives to Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that every child will be saved. It doesn't mean that tragedies won't happen to your children or hardships. But by you submitting your life to Jesus, and they're going to look at you and see Jesus all over you, you are creating the environment. Are y'all with me, church? Where they have the possibility to grow and do great things for God. Will they? That's between them and God, right? But you've done your part to make sure they're in a healthy environment. I want my girls to be healthy. I want them to be pure. I want them to love people. I want them to make a difference. And here's the most important thing. I pray that my girls will one day give their hearts to Jesus and be saved. That's my prayer. Now, what if today you don't have children? You can't have children, or you're not married, or you're single. What about then? Well, listen, this is still true. Because if you love God, you're going to provide this loving atmosphere wherever you go. You know, God may call on you to love a niece or a nephew in the name of Jesus. They don't have Christian parents. Amen? He may call you to go work back in that kids' church where you get extra crowns in heaven for doing that, right? God may call you to do all kinds of neat stuff, to adopt or to mentor or to do foster care. All of those are beautiful in the eyes of Jesus. Amen? All of it's beautiful. And God can call you to do that. And He's using your witness, your character, to help children to grow closer to God. Now, when we put God first, our family's impacted. Why? Because we're impacted. Because we're different. When we trust in Jesus and we love Jesus with all of our hearts, it makes us something different. Some today are sitting here listening and they're saying, Kenny, I just don't believe my family can be happy. You've not seen the fights we've had. You've not seen the chaos we've had. You've not seen the blood on the wall that we've had. And you're right, I haven't. But here's what I know. That it's got to start somewhere. And if you let God impact you first, it will bleed into your family. It will. Now, you don't have it in your notes and it won't be on the screen. But if you have your Bibles, read it and just listen. The very next verse, 5 and 6, says, May the Lord bless you from Zion so that you will see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And I love what verse 6 says. And will see your children's children or your grandkids. The hope is that when we turn our eyes to God, that we'll see our families love God and produce families of their own that love God and that love Jesus. And my prayer for all of us, young parents in this room, that you'll raise your kids for Jesus, and that one day, when they have families of their own, that they'll raise their families for Jesus. That's my challenge to you and our prayer, that we'll see future generations carry on the name of Jesus and do great things. Oh, Kenny, my family's far from perfect. That's okay. There's no perfect families. Our praise man's going to come. But there's no perfect families. And here's the deal. You don't have to be perfect to be happy. Understand that. You don't have to be perfect to be happy. But being forgiven is the key. Maybe today you're saying, Kenny, is there any hope for forgiveness for my family? Yes, there is. Is there a new start for my family? Yes, there is. And it comes to Jesus and what He did on the cross. For those today that trust in the Lord for as their Savior, and they believe Jesus died and rose again, and they surrender their hearts to Him, new life is waiting for them. The key to honoring God, the key to happiness, the key to a family that's going to grow for Jesus, is that you first have to make a personal decision. You first. That God is first place in your life. That Jesus is in your life. That if you were to die, you know heaven's home. But even if you live for 100 more years, you know you're going to spend that with God every day when you wake up. And love Jesus. Today I want my family to be in the presence of God. I pray that your family will be the same. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Maybe today you've never given your life to Jesus. And today you're ready to do that. You'd say, Kenny, I'm a sinner. I need Christ in my life. I invite you today to pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've fallen short. Come into my life and save me. I believe Jesus died. I believe He rose again. Thank you for saving me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Did anybody pray that prayer today for the very first time? And they would just say, Kenny, I ask Christ into my heart for the very first time today. Would you just raise your hand? No one's going to call you out or point you out. Would you just raise your hand real quick? Some of you today are here with your families, and you're so happy they're here. You're so thankful they're here today. I encourage you to pray for that family, to commit to them. Maybe you're here with a friend. And by the way, if somebody invited you, you mean something to that person. If they thought enough to invite you, you mean something to them. And they're going to be praying for you. I challenge our church this morning to come and pray for their families and their friends. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. And Lord, if somebody today needs to come and make a decision, give them the courage to come. Give them the courage to come, to join the church, to give their life to Christ, to pray for their families. We pray in your name. Amen. If you would stand, I'm going to ask Daniel to come over here. Greg, if you come next to Mark. Our deacons will be here today to pray if you need specific prayer requests today. As we come today, the altar's open. If you need people to pray with you, we would love to as we sing.